Hello and welcome to Connectivity 235. I'm your host Nicholas Bray, and today I'm joined by Curtis Bonds.
Hello!
And Zachary Miller. Jeez, was that you?
Yeah.
That sounded pretty good.
Wrong game, but yeah.
Wrong game.
Same idea, yeah.
Because today we're going to be talking about a classic game known as Mario Galaxy. Seeing as though Mario Odyssey is coming out very soon, in like, what, 20-something days?
28 days!
And Mario Galaxy is almost 10 years old now.
That's crazy.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
It just kind of crept up on us. Like, it doesn't feel like it's been 10 years since Galaxy 1 came out.
No. I remember most of what we played, so it can't have been that long ago.
So, yeah, today we're going to talk a little bit about the early sections of Galaxy, because we've all been replaying it here and there. So we're going to talk about a bit of the start of the game, a bit of sort of, I guess, some of our thoughts and memories and a bit of the development and stuff. And we'll probably do another part of this afterwards, because I don't think we won't cover the whole game today. Because we'll try and delve into some of the levels in a little bit more detail, considering, yeah, we just played it, so. Okay, so, Kurt, maybe we start with you, like, before we jump into, like, what we play now, what was your sort of memory and, like, thoughts on Galaxy, like, back in 2007?
Back in 2007, I want to, trying to think, because I didn't get a Wii until, I want to say, sorry, my Facebook's going off. I didn't get a Wii until, like, yeah, earlier in 2007. Like, I totally missed the train on the whole launch event there. So I wasn't, and, you know, as you guys remember, the Wiis were, like, obscenely hard to find.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I wasn't even sure I was even gonna get one, like, by the time Mario Galaxy came out. But I eventually buckled and overpaid for one. I think I paid like $330 for one, and probably shouldn't have done that in the time period that it was. I think, yeah, like I said, it was March, so there was kind of a little bit of a drought. But
I believe that's what NES Classic still go for today.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds about right. But yeah, I remember being really, really excited for Mario Galaxy. Even though Nintendo didn't really seem to be, in a way. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, but, like, the lead-up to, like, E3 and Mario Galaxy's release and stuff, like, Nintendo was just kind of pushing Mario Galaxy a little bit to the side. Because the casuals really hit it off with the Wii.
Yeah.
And, like, their E3 presentation was, like, just this giant, like, you know, was just this giant... self-celebratory things, just like, oh, we're so great, we make everybody happy. Oh, here's Mario Galaxy. Oh, and we make people happy. Look at all this montages of people enjoying Wii Sports. And, oh yeah, here's a Metroid game, I guess. Well, yeah, Wii Fit, baby, woo! So, yeah. Like, it's just, a flagship Mario game, and you guys aren't really promoting
pushing it that much.
And, let's see, what was the do you guys remember the commercial for Mario Galaxy?
I don't remember it having a commercial.
It did. I think it did too.
Was it one of those ones where the lifestyle people, like, sort of shots with, like, fused with Mario Galaxy and stuff? Is that basically what it was?
I think it was in it had, like, the We Would Like to Play guys, and it was just people playing it in, like, a movie theater. It's like, okay.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't really sell the game to anybody. Like, I remember people being really disappointed with that commercial too.
Huh.
And it's like, maybe I'm thinking of a different game, but yeah, I
you're probably right. I mean, they put Metroid Prime 3 in an airport and did the same thing. So
yeah,
oh yeah,
that wasn't great. I mean, I think the ad must have been so bad because I went and made my own ad, which I might link in the show notes to this because I think it's way better than any official ad that they put out.
Nice.
What was I going to say? So Mario Galaxy first showed up in the E3 2006, like the big Wii reveal where Miyamoto was on stage conducting and all that. So that was the first time we saw the game and heard about the game. And then, it came out, like, Christmas 2007. So it's like a year and a half, basically, of pre-release stuff. And I remember, like, yeah, people, like, reviewers and, like, journalists and stuff playing at E3, and they were like, oh, yeah, it's really, really good and stuff. It, I don't know, it seemed very, to me at the time, I was like, oh, yeah, how, it looks good, but, like, why are they saying it's, like, mind-blowing? And, I don't know, it, even after I'd played Mario Galaxy, I didn't really think it was, like, super, super mind-blowing and, like, so crazy and stuff. Like,
I think maybe in comparison to Mario Sunshine, maybe people thought it was a little bit more mind blowing.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah, I mean, I like Mario Sunshine. I'm one of those dirty people that, you know, don't mind that game that much. But yeah, I remember people being like really down on Nintendo for not really like putting out enough Mario games, and that was just that I feel like that just kind of came out of nowhere when it got revealed during that E3 2006 montage. Like, I remember people being really, really hyped. Like, they haven't seen an actual Mario game in ages.
Yeah. Well, it had been quite a while since Sunshine, I guess.
Yeah, like, Sunshine was summer 2002?
Wasn't it?
Was it 2001? I thought it was 2002.
I think it was 2001 in Japan.
In Japan, oh, yeah, but okay. In America, we got...
Well, the GameCube launched in 2001, so Mario Sunshine had to come out in 2002, right?
Well, we got... I know that in America, we got Mario Sunshine, Wind Waker, and Metroid Prime all in the same year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was 2002.
Which is insane to think about now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although we might get that this year.
We will get that this year. I mean, honestly, the Switch probably has, like, one of Nintendo's best launch years in, like, a very, very long time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, I think it just has to do with the fact that people were so kind of like whatever on Sunshine, and basically almost anything Nintendo was doing during the GameCube era, which I think is kind of funny, because now, more than ever, I feel like people are like nostalgic for the GameCube games now.
They're clamoring for GameCube nostalgia now, almost. But yeah, like another tidbit, I think the general reception was about pre-release Galaxy as well, was that, oh, this is going to be a throwback to Mario 64.
Yeah.
And, like, especially replaying it now, like, even further out, that feels kind of weird to say, because
like, it's wrong.
It's not really like Mario really. 64. It's not really at all. I mean, yeah, we'll get into that a bit later, but yeah, it's, like, not really close to 64 at all. I mean, Sunshine's way closer.
Yeah, the structure, it has the structure of Sunshine, for sure.
So, Zach, what were your memories of playing Galaxy back in the day?
You know, I actually don't have too many memories of it. I remember it being very excited about it, and I enjoyed it a lot when I played it. In fact, I played through it twice, because you can do that.
Yep.
And I got, you know, my 240-odd stars, and I enjoyed it a lot. In this most recent playthrough, I forgot how long every star takes, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But the game, it has a habit of being like, "Oh, you've done all these things. Here's the star in another part of the level." Oh, great. Let me go over there. So, I mean, I played it for probably I played through the first two. What would you say? Hub galaxies.
Mini hub things.
Yeah, mini hubs. I think I think it took like 10 hours.
Yeah, it kind of took. It kind of took a little bit longer 10 hours, than I thought.
But maybe like 5-6 hours. You know, I mean, good lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. As I'm like when I was playing through those levels, I was thinking the exact same thing of like how long these took, and that's not necessarily like a knock against the game.
No. I just don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I think it's just where we've been so used to, like, the pacing of, like, the new Super Mario Brothers, Mario 3D Land, Mario 3D World, all have the same, like, pacing to them.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, you kind of forget, like, oh, yeah, these, like, actually were these levels actually once took a while.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's not to the game's, I mean, it's not to the game's detriment. It's a big, meaty game that, I mean, it's a brilliant game. The art direction is brilliant. The physics are incredible. Just the sheer amount of stuff you do is insane, but you got to have some time on your hands.
Yeah,
you got to have like not kids or dogs and a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was definitely having some trouble just focusing on this game because, you know, I've been playing like Golf Story and SteamWorld Dig 2 and the SNES Classic, and it's just like, oh yeah, I have to keep playing Mario Sunshine, Mario Galaxy. But it's like, it just takes so long. But yeah. Not like I said, not complaining.
Yeah, it's like obviously Galaxy is a very good game, but like I think it's the perspective now, like playing it nowadays, that like you said, like Galaxy was sort of the start of them moving in the faster paced linear style Mario. Like that was the first time they were put a game out trying to do that. And then every other game since Galaxy has bumped up the pace, condensed the levels even further until we got to the point where we're at 3D World on the Wii U, and that's basically a 2D Mario game just with like a slight, you know, camera angle change.
No, real quick throw in here. I never bought Galaxy 2 when it came out on Wii because I'd kind of had enough. I distinctly remember being like, I don't really need to play that. But I did get it on Wii U Virtual Console, and it kind of has the exact same structure and issues that Galaxy does in terms of length and padding.
I think, my memory is the Galaxy 2 overall, like, the levels are more snappier. It is even more linear and stuff, but...
Oh, there's, yeah, super linear, sure. Mm-hmm.
Even the level select was made way linear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was a good move. I mean, the hub world in Galaxy is this, like...
It was cool,
There's no point. It's like... Yeah.
Wasting a few, like, even if it's only, like, maybe 5-10 seconds at most, it's just there's nothing really that worth.
But I mean,
like,
they could have made it more interesting. They could have basically made it Peach's castle in space.
Yeah,
Observatory,
yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like Rosalina's version of the castle. It could have been, like, explorable and stuff, but...
Yeah, and you get that flying cap later in the game, too. That would have been cool if that was just, like, right away.
Yeah, that's true, and you get it in the observatory, and it doesn't do anything. There's no point to it.
It's just very, very weird decisions in an overall still, like, fantastic game.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at some of the early Galaxies, like, levels and stuff. I mean, the opening thing is basically the tutorial where you got to catch the rabbit and run around on the sphere to get used to...
Oh my god, that opening thing is horrible now. Good god, let me play the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes back to them wanting to ease in, like, casual players. Like, they were mindful of that. That's, like...
I think that they were trying... I think I know what they were trying to do. They were basically trying to, like... Yeah, so...
They were sorting it a little bit.
Yeah. We know it might be a little weird to, like, kind of get used to how, like, the camera moves and the planets, you know, interact with each other. So it's like, yeah, maybe this is probably, like, yeah, we'll just have you run around and, like, get used to it.
And it was a good idea back then, but now it's just hard to sit through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a little bit to get through, but, like, even when I played it that part this time, I was like, when I got control of Mario and running on the sphere, it did take me, like, 10 seconds to sort of, oh, yeah, that's right, it's, like, it is a little weird running about a sphere.
That's true.
It took
true.
Me, like, a slight moment to adjust, and I can see, like, them worrying, like, oh, yeah, this is feels a bit weird, like, trying to track around a 3D spherical object.
At least they didn't have a picture of the Wii remote on the screen at all times showing you what every button does.
You could turn that off.
Oh, I know.
So the first real level is Good Egg Galaxy.
With prehistoric Petey Piranha.
Yeah. So that he was the first boss, but like the level before that, like this was the first time, like I was like, oh yeah, these levels do go on longer than I expect. Like you had a bunch of like mini sections before him, and it's like, I don't know. Like I found it difficult to try and get on top of that little house as well.
Oh, me too. Oh, good lord. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, I'm not sure if you're like meant to just like jump on top of it. Like they tell you, yeah, just go around and use the pipe. But it's like it still didn't keep me from like attempting.
Yeah, I got up with a triple jump followed by a spin in the air. That felt like cheating. Like maybe I wasn't supposed to do that. But no, I like that. Like that, I feel like that should have been the intro level, because then you're actually moving towards a goal. That counts towards your progress. Whereas you never go toward, in it, you could have had all the little tutorial stuff in that area, because it eases you in really a lot, and that first area is basically a platformer.
I feel like everything that was like covered in the first level was covered in that one too. So, and like, but it was just way more exciting too, and it had that awesome track. That's still,
oh, dude, the soundtrack is maybe the best part of this game.
That still excites me when it's just like you just go into the Good Egg Galaxy, you fly in, there's no music at all, and once you poom right on the ground, da 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 da.
Yeah,
it's like, oh god, that's so good.
It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, it's sorry.
So ahead. Yeah, a couple of the real boss is another boss in this level, right? The king, the squid guy.
Yes, at the end, he's the last, or I guess third star.
Is he King Caliente?
King Caliente, He's surprisingly easy and only takes two hits, unlike the standard Mario boss of three hits.
No, he takes three hits.
Oh, it only took two for me.
Oh, that's strange.
Yeah.
Unless you hit two of these things back at once or something.
Oh, that might have been what happened. But yeah, I was surprised by how quickly he went down. I was like, this is non-standard. Cool. It's a good fight, though. I mean, that's a cool-looking boss, and...
I really like the lighting bouncing off the black goo. That looks cool.
Yeah, I remember being really impressed with that when they were like first showing that off, YouTube was around back then, but yeah, I remember I remember even watching like recordings of that back in like the 240p days, and it was like, oh man, that still looks really freaking good.
I think that was one of the fights they showed off at E3.
Yeah,
like, that was like in the initial boss.
In the initial pitch trailer, if I remember.
Yeah.
So I guess there's not too much to talk more about, like, Good Egg Galaxy, really. Like, it's pretty straightforward level. It introduces, like, the planetoids, introduces a few different mechanics, I think, for, like, activating switches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Three
or four different kinds of stars to attach to and get blown out of.
Yep.
I think shortly after you beat or get out of the Good Egg Galaxy, they tell you about the Lumas that transform when you feed them a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's always just the cutest thing.
Yeah, cute, overeating explosions.
Yeah.
it's just so weird to think about it that, like, do the Lumas actually turn into the planets?
Yeah, great question, right?
Yeah.
Like they are just like they are having one, it's like they're having one final meal before they sacrifice themselves to further your goals. It's like the last episode of David the Gnome where they turn into trees. Yeah.
It's so sad.
It's kind of sad, but they're so happy, you know?
They give life to whatever's in the new galaxy.
Right, right. Including sometimes.
Yeah, they're just fulfilling their fate, I guess.
Yeah. And the Luma that appears outside the observatory who turns into the, like, I don't know what it's called, retro galaxy or something. That's a hard one.
Sweet, sweet galaxy.
Yeah, that is some, Mario Sunshine, floodless level stuff right there.
Yeah. It's pretty easy compared to those, though.
Oh, yeah, compared to those, yeah, but compared to the rest of, what you've been doing in Galaxy, it's no.
Yeah.
Problem. Yeah.
See, I was really, back in the day, I was really happy when I saw levels like that, because I was like, yes. I wanted more, like, tight platforming challenges like Sunshine. I was like, I could have just done with, like, 100 level bonus pack of those Sunshine levels.
Yeah.
And it would have been
awesome.
Yeah,
that would have been good.
I would have liked that.
Sunshine without Flood or something. DLC.
Exactly. In one timeline, Flood actually does die, and that sequel is the 100 levels of obstacle courses.
To be
Flood, Flood. Yeah, the Flood is defeated timeline.
Yeah, exactly.
So the next major level after Good Egg is Honey Hive Galaxy, and this is more meant to be like a bit more of a playground sort of in the more akin to a level from Mario 64. But the first thing that struck me when I was doing the first star in this was how boring it was. It was basically go in a straight line, follow the path directly, and you'll get the star. And there's like nothing really stopping you. I mean, I guess it teaches you how to use the B.
Which really is just used for flying upwards.
Yeah, it's like, I remember it being a lot easier, like better to control. But when I was using it this time, I was like, this thing kind of sucks. It's not that fun.
Yeah, no, I agree. And is it the first star or the second star where you meet the queen and have to get
Scratcher? It's the first star.
It's the first star. That takes, yeah. I mean, that just takes forever. And then that's another thing where you fulfill your duty.
You fulfill your duty by crawling all over the queen's parts.
And then the stupid shine shows up somewhere else.
Yep.
But I actually
can't make it too easy for you.
I actually like the texturing on the queen. It does look like hair. I gotta give him that.
Yeah, remind me a lot of Conker Live and Reloaded on Xbox.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess they kind of figured out that whole furry technology.
Yeah.
They figured it out on Jungle Beat, because that was Tokyo's
first game. That has some really good fur.
They figured it out on Star Fox Adventures.
Yeah, well, that was Rare, though.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and Rare did Conker Live and Reloaded, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
It all comes back to Donkey Kong.
Now, like, because there's like 6 stars in Honey Hive Galaxy. I think I only beat like the first 3 or 4, maybe. But yeah, there's like a purple coin one. There's a Luigi, something to do with the Luigi as well.
There's a speed.
And a Mario Cosmic Race.
Yeah.
The Cosmic Races were, I thought they were pretty fun. I didn't mind those.
No, I actually kind of had an embarrassingly hard time doing the speed run one for prehistoric Petey Piranha. Because you have 4 minutes to not just get there, but beat him. And it took me 2 tries. I was a little ashamed of myself there.
That's quite all right. We were all there at one point. No, I haven't gotten to that one just yet. I just unlocked the Prankster Comets like a little bit ago. And I just did speed run one of a later one we'll talk about when we talk about Space Junk Galaxy.
Ooh, Space Junk.
Yeah.
When the pranks, like the comet started showing up again, I was like, oh yeah, this, I'm glad they got rid of this for the second one.
Because
they're kind of, I'd rather just have all the stars for a galaxy sort of listed and I can just go and deal with them.
Yes.
But I mean, it's okay. It's kind of a surprise sometimes when they pop up and you go, oh, yeah, go check what that is and stuff. But,
well, I also feel like they could have, you know, they're at least half the galaxies in any given area are like one-off stars.
Yeah.
And I feel like with some of these one-off stars, they could have integrated those into the larger galaxies so that you would have 5 or 6 stars, you know? The exception, I guess, for early in the game would be that Ray Racing star.
Which is the next level that we're going to talk about now.
Which is awesome!
Loop-de-loop galaxy, which, you know, everyone complains about this level. I actually like it. I don't think it's hard at all.
Yeah, it was actually really fun. I was kind of dreading it a little bit, because, like, oh, this is, like, first-generation Wii control, Wii motion controls. It's like, ooh, I don't know. Then I played it. It's like, oh, this actually works.
Yeah.
Who knew that motion controls actually worked when the developer gave a shit?
Well, they didn't try to make it too complicated. It was just like, tilt it a little this way, tilt a little that way.
Yeah. I really like the style of that, too. Like the water floating in the air and stuff. It looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a little bit of, reminded me of the fact that we never really got a wave race, you know?
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, where is Wave Race today?
Yeah.
What's up with Kawasaki? Come back to us, baby.
And another one-off star is in this galaxy is Flip Switch Galaxy, where you got to like activate all the switches.
Yeah, that's also a good
one. It's like, yeah, which is like a trope that comes back again and again in the galaxy games. Like they really like reuse that a fair bit, I think.
And those switches come back in 3D Land and World.
Mm, that's right, they do too. Yeah,
actually, I think they were in Sunshine too.
Oh, were they?
I don't even think they were.
No. Maybe I might be confusing it with the kind that flip around when you jump. Were those in Sunshine?
Yeah, the ones that flip around when you jump, yeah, those were in Sunshine. But I don't think they were like the color-changing ones.
Okay. No. Man, those flip ones suck.
And the boss of the Terrace hub mini-hub world is Bowser Jr.'s Robot Reactor. Which is basically one that they demoed a fair bit at E3s and stuff. And everyone was going, oh my god, it's like Mario in Shadow of the Colossus. How cool is that? Because you have to run up his like legs and all this stuff in this boss level.
It's a good fight.
It's pretty fun, but like it's pretty easy too. I mean,
oh, sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't the first time people were like claiming that Mario was ripping off a Sony game. Do you guys remember when, like, you know, Mario Galaxy was coming out, and, like, I think it was, like, Insomniac, the people that were making Ratchet and Clank, like, they were saying, oh, yeah, we made Spherical Worlds first. It's such an honor that Nintendo's taking inspiration from
that.
Us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, because, like, in one of the Ratchet and Clank games, they had, like, areas that were just, like, you know, round planets that you, like, ran around on.
Yeah, that was in the third one. That was in Up Your Arsenal. Up your arsenal.
Mm-hmm. It didn't incorporate, like, gravity, though.
It wasn't like a gravity thing or anything like that. It was just, like, Spherical Worlds. It's just like, yeah, we're so glad that Nintendo took inspiration from us. I'm like, guys, come on. You didn't invent a planet.
Sonic Adventure 2 Battle had space levels like that, too, I think.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. Bad ones with Knuckles where you gotta go and find stuff.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one wants to admit taking inspiration from that.
At least we didn't get any, like, Knuckles rap in Mario Galaxy.
I think that's a glaring omission in this game. There should have been way more rap.
just have Rosalina lay down some tracks. That would have made her more interesting, I suppose.
Galaxy Princess featuring Luma.
There you go. You know, I gotta say, I mean, we didn't really talk about Rosalina much, but she's not super fun in this game. She's kind of dour.
Yeah, I mean, she's just kind of there. I mean, she's really pretty, but it's like, that's about it.
She's also, like, 7 foot tall or something crazy.
Yeah, she is, actually.
I never really thought about it until later games, but she's, like, ginormous.
Yeah.
For some reason.
That's true. In Mario Golf on the 3DS, she towers over Peach and Daisy.
I mean, she, like, floats, too, so I don't know if it's just, like, she's tall, or she's just, like, trying to get people to think that she's tall.
Oh, that could be it.
Yeah.
But,
her backstory is weirdly tragic. I mean, we knew that back when we played it, but I was reminded of it.
I haven't reread any of the story in this
game. I haven't unlocked that part yet, so I'm actually interested in reading that stuff, because I think I specifically remember just avoiding that part because I thought it was boring.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I went through it on the internet, and it's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a pretty good little story. I mean,
it is.
I guess Miyamoto's like decision to make the movie into its own little section paid off for you, Kurt, because like originally it was going to be rolled into the actual fabric of the game, but Miyamoto's like, no. Story goes in its own section.
Yeah.
No one wants to read your stupid story.
Its own optional section, and we're not doing any of it for two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is he in space? Because he is.
Who cares? Just ship it.
I think, wasn't that one of the early, maybe, like, ideas was to make, Rosalina related to Peach somehow? Was that still a thing?
I don't remember that.
Like, she was going to be some sort of relation, maybe not.
Relation? I thought you were going to say, like, she's some kind of relationship therapist?
Yeah, she comes to counsel Bowser and Peach on a good relationship.
Before,
yeah, I feel like there's a lot of space. I feel like there's a lot of space between you two. get it?
So, the next mini-hub level is called The Fountain, and the first level in it is called Space Junk Galaxy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, just, like, disparate different bits and pieces for, you know, oblong. I think there's a lot of oblong-shaped things in this, right? And, like, there's a bunch of those grab stars, like the blue stars that you got to pull on.
Yep, that's a big component.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, I like, but kind of overdone a little bit.
I don't think so.
There are certain, I remember distinctly in the first time I was playing it, that there were certain stars in the game that relied on those very heavily. One of them was the, we didn't play through it, but the, like, ghost galaxy in this game is, like, every other friggin'.
Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't like the stuff like that. Sometimes it just feels like, this isn't very. I mean, using the pull, the pull stars are the blue ones you grab onto, right?
Right.
They're
floating in the air, yeah. And, it's all very easy. You can just sort of, like, drop, and then as long as you get your cursor on the blue thing and push A, like, Mario is just saved anyway, so.
Right.
Like, a lot of the time, I think in later levels, yeah, it gets harder because there's a lot more objects that you can run into on the way while you're being pulled in, but yeah, some of the early ones are a little, I don't know, hit or miss for me. I like the levels that are just relaxing, though. Some of the levels are just really laid back, and you can just sort of move Mario around in a little bubble or something, and
And the music.
Just listen to the music.
Yeah, the music definitely, like, helped this level out a lot, too, because, like, it gave it that feeling of just, like, just loss, and just very, very, like, I think that's why I didn't really mind the pull stars that much, because I feel like the sound effect that they made, like, was just, like, very soft and stuff, and it just fit with the mood of the level and the music, and it's just like, oh, okay, so it's just,
Yeah, that's true. It's just,
yeah.
I should put it this way. Most of the time when I was reminded that I'm playing a Wii game, I didn't really appreciate it.
I can see what you mean. Cause I haven't really played too many games that require use of a sensor bar, since I moved into this studio apartment that I'm living in now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I set it, yeah, so I was setting it up, and I guess because my area is so small, I've just been, like, playing it right at my desk where my TV is, and you know, I kept having to, like, move back in my chair to, like, get the sensor bar to actually detect the Wii remote properly,
because
I was always sitting so close to it that it wasn't really picking it up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, right, I used to play games from
the other side of the room.
Yeah, from the other side of the room. No wonder I didn't really mind the Wii that much. I forgot that people aren't really in a place where they can, you know, have that much space to work with.
I didn't mind the boss on this Space Junk level too. It's like the spider, and you got to use the sticky, is it the sticky star things? You got to, like, fling yourself across to hit his underside and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that's a clever fight.
Yeah, and you sort of, like, Mario's on, like, a 2D plane, basically. You're running around the, like, inside of a circle.
Right.
Which is cool.
There's a few stars like that, and I always like those, because they kind of change your perspective.
Yeah. Another cool level is the Battle Rock Galaxy.
Yeah, this is where I kind of stopped. I played about halfway through it, but it kind of gets a reprise later in the game.
But, like, yeah, this is the one that's sort of, like, a lot of moving platforms and missiles and bombs and stuff getting, like, you got to dodge them a lot. And you sort of, like, I think the first level's on, you're on a moving platform and it's slowly going through.
You got to and all the bullet bills are coming after you.
Yeah,
I did that. I think I only did, like, a couple missions of that. I did that one, and I think I did the secret one where you had to clean up all the trash.
That is the worst. The other one like it later in the game are the worst missions in the entire game.
The second one, I remember spending, like, I kept on coming back to it because I used to get frustrated with it. It was like one of the last stars I needed to get, and I kept not getting the time right because the time is extremely tight on one of the last times you do.
All the memories just started flooding back to me once the Luma transformed to it. It was like, here we go, transform! And in my mind, it was like, oh shit.
Yeah. The aiming your throw is not nearly good enough to be not frustrated.
No, you're gonna you got to plan where you're going to place all of them and stuff to get it 100% right on that when it's harder.
Thankfully, it didn't take me as long to do it this time as it did, 10 years ago. But if they gave you, five more seconds, it probably would have been palatable.
Yeah.
30 seconds is the absolute bare minimum you could have to complete that level. I'd be shocked if anyone completed that level under 28 seconds.
Yeah, me too. And you know, this actually brings up an interesting point that we haven't talked about. This is how it was in Sunshine as well. Now in Super Mario 64, of course, every level was a open playground where you could get pretty much any star you wanted if you knew where they were. But in Sunshine and Galaxy, if you don't get that star, you're not going to progress.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get sick of doing the, trash one and you don't want to do it anymore, well, you'd better do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least with that one, it's not really one of the ones that are it's one that's kind of out of the way because it's not one of the initially listed ones.
You had to feed the Luma
in order to unlock it. Yeah. So thankfully they had it in their heart to just kind of keep that to the side.
But there's a second level like this much later in the game, and it has a trash cleanup one as I think one of its main stars.
Oh.
Because there's two of them. I mean, there's two.
I definitely remember there being two of them.
Yeah, I'll have to do some research to see if it's a main star or not. But that just reminds me that if for some reason you really suck at Mario and you can't for the life of you get all of the bugs off the Queen Bee, well, you're not going to get very far because you don't have other options.
Well, I don't know. You do have other options most of the time because there are other galaxies you can go to. You don't have to do all the stars. If you build, you can build up a fair bit of amount of stars to move forward to the next galaxy area if you wanted to. I mean, I've started into the third mini hub already, and I walked in there and just unlocked all the levels because I had enough stars from trying to do most of the stuff in the previous two areas.
Oh, okay.
So usually you have options, but it does when it comes down to it later on when you got to do stuff if you're going for 120 stars or whatever. But
I suppose if you're the kind of guy who's going after 120 stars, you're going to do all the hard ones no matter what.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you only need 60 stars to beat Bowser in this game.
Oh, that's it? So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it was way more.
And I've got 30 already, so...
Damn!
Which is, that's basically how 3D Mario games had been going. I mean, I think it was 70 in Mario 64.
Yeah, I think it is.
It was
60 or 70 in Sunshine as well, I think.
It was 8 to get. Yeah, it was 8 to complete the first floor, 30 to get to the basement, and 50 to the third floor, and 70 once you unlock the clock area. Yeah.
And if you want that super special secret ending in Sunshine, you better get them all.
Ugh. No thanks.
Totally worth it,
right? What was the secret ending?
The secret ending is a little scene at the end of the credits where Bowser and Bowser Jr. are just sitting on an island. And they're like, well, that didn't work out, did it?
Yeah, no. I've seen that, yeah.
No, that's a regular ending.
Oh, is that the regular ending?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, geez, then I don't remember what... I know I got the final ending, because I got 120 stars.
I know there's something
you
did, but I just don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I don't either now.
We'll have to look that one up later.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I love Mario games, and I will make it a point to just fully complete them and get every single star or beat every single level, but Sunshine is the sole exception. As much as I love that game,
yeah,
I don't think I am ever going to 100% that damn game.
You know what's funny is that I was thinking for a long time, I've been thinking about finding a copy and replaying it. And then I listened to that recent RFN where they did that, and I discussed it, and I said, I don't need to do this ever again.
I haven't listened to the RFN talk on Sunshine, but I've played it fairly recently. Like within the last couple of years, I played like 30 to 40 shines. And I don't know. I don't mind it. It's like, yeah. I don't really see why it's picked on, really. I mean, I think the physics and movement feel better than Galaxy.
Like, oh, really?
It does feel more free-flowing and stuff,
yeah.
Closer to Mario 64. That's the thing I was going to bring up, actually, with like Galaxy. Generally, it feels very good controlling Mario, obviously. There's no real problems, but I do find him, it's hard to explain exactly, sometimes he feels just a tad stiff in Galaxy, and it's especially noticeable when you're, like, in a boss, and you gotta, like jump on top of stuff to, like, pick up an enemy and stuff, and sometimes you're moving slow, or you're standing still, and it takes you, like, a little bit to get going, to, like, pick up enough speed to sort of have enough momentum to jump off stuff. I think it might be because you can't sort of shift Mario as much in the air, maybe, or I don't know. He feels a bit heavier.
I don't know. I sometimes have a problem with if it's not a regular kind of 3D platformery section, I have a hard time jumping on things.
Yeah,
like precisely. I think they kind of counter for that in the game's design. They don't have you jumping on a lot of stuff on a planetoid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, basically, but you can defeat almost.
But there are some areas where it's required, and that always takes me... I mean, you don't really have trouble with it, but it takes, you know, maybe more than you think it should.
More tries than you think it probably should in a Mario game.
Yeah. Mm. But that being said, the normal platformy 3D sections of the game control beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're basically playing Mario 64.
Yep.
But yeah, even seeing some of the side-scrolling sections, like, sometimes he feels a bit slightly, I don't know, yeah, stiff, I guess, compared to, like, yeah, Sunshine in 64.
Yeah.
Which is just the way, you know, that's just the way they made it in Galaxy, but I'm really interested to see how he feels in Odyssey, because from the animations and stuff I've seen, he does seem closer to Galaxy than, like, Sunshine and stuff still.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, too.
Yeah, I'll be interested.
Yeah, he controls a little bit stiffer.
Yeah.
It's probably because they want to, I think a big part of that game is going to be throwing the cap and jumping off of it. So yeah. I'm sure that there's like a stiffness of direction in his jump so that he always hits that cap.
Mm.
Unless that's an automatic function. That could be nice. Throw the cap and he automatically jumps to it. I have no idea if that's how it works.
I don't think that's how it works.
No? Okay. Yeah. Another thing, we talked about how slow Galaxy is and Sunshine's the same way. And one of the reasons is when you get a shine, you exit out. And I'm so happy that they're getting rid of that in Odyssey.
Yeah. That's so good. I mean, yeah, it annoys me even more in Galaxy than it does in Mario 64, because I think it takes longer in Galaxy to jump in and out of a level.
Yeah.
Because, like, usually when you boot it out after a star, you, like, got to, oh, yeah, thanks for getting the star, blah, 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 save it. Then you got to, like, jump back up into the, like, put the blue pool star thing to
right.
get back to the level select, and then you go choose your star, and then it takes a while to load because it's like doing that dramatic, you know,
music
thing. Then it shows you the blurb of that level when you come back in,
and then you often kind of go through the same one or two areas before you get to the newer areas for the new shine. So So that's another point of slowdown. Like in the yeah. I mean, in the Good Egg Galaxy, you all three of the main shines, you start out in that, you know, house area, and you have to rack your brain trying to remember how the heck did I get on top of this stupid house.
Like, do I even need to be up here? Oh, right. Yeah. The launch star is over on the stone.
And I don't know how OCD you guys are about collecting little rocks.
Star bits.
I've been very, very OCD about it, so it takes me a long-ass time to do anything.
I usually try and pick them up. Like, I wave the Wii Remote around and get a bunch of them. But, like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, you see them bouncing around, and you're like, ah. I should collect those.
I know, exactly. I see a little meteor fall, even in the distance. I'm like, well, got to go over there.
I mean, it helps. It helps because, like, you got to feed those stupid, like, loomers, like, heaps and heaps of them later. So
exactly.
You need to, like, build it up.
Yeah, that was my
justification.
That was my justification because I knew, because I remember, like, there were, like, a lot of loomers that required a bunch of those. So it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to just get every single one I see and just save myself trouble grinding for it.
I think near the end of the game is like, gets up to close, is there 2,000 star bits?
I would not be surprised.
I think there was.
Yeah.
So, finishing off the second hub world here, the next star on the list is Rolling Green Galaxy, which is basically Mario's on top of a ball with the star inside it, and you got to go through like a obstacle course / golf course style.
Oh yeah,
thing.
I remember that. I haven't gotten there yet, but is it good? Does it hold up?
I unlocked it, but I haven't played it yet because I wasn't sure if I wanted to.
Okay,
I like it. Like
Super
I've
Monkey
always
Ball
liked
with
it.
Mario.
Yeah, as long as you hold the Wii Remote the way that it says to do it and only use, like, you don't have to use a lot of pressure, like, movement to get it to go. If you use, like, it can go pretty fast if you sort of tilt it too far, but, I mean, it's not that difficult, and I kind of like it. It's pretty fun.
Oh, wait a second, I did do this one. I love this one. And the environment, for some reason, reminds me of Mario 3D World. The whole time I was playing it, I was like, this is a lot like Mario 3D World. There's no reason for me to think that. But it does.
I think it's because the camera angle is slightly elevated a bit above him.
Oh, that could be. Yeah. I really like that. And that's another level where the motion control works because they're only asking you to do like two things.
Yeah. Yeah, jump and move, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not all that different from the Ray riding.
No.
And you can take it super friggin' slow. It's not time. That's what I did.
Yeah. If you rush it, like, it's easier to fall off. And, like, it's also easy to, like, if you're going fast and you hit, like, a Goomba, it'll fling you up really high and you'll probably, like, lose control and fall off the edge.
Yes, that happened to me once. That's a good level. I think that's the only level like it in that game.
Yeah, that's one. Like, it's one of the one star things.
Yeah.
I don't think they return to it in this game. And the next one after that is the Hurry Scurry Galaxy, and this one is one where as soon as you walk on a platform, it starts disappearing, and in the center of the like the sphere sort of thing you're running around the platforms on. Is a black hole, so you, like, if you run out of places to step on, it's game over. It's basically that one was just like collecting the musical notes, I think, and then getting the star.
Yep, I remember that one. I haven't played it, but I remember it exactly. That's also, I almost like the one-off one-star levels more than the main levels. I feel they get really creative there.
Yeah. It would have been, I know it's like pretty much like impossible, but imagine if they just did like each thing was one star and you just basically had 120 unique levels, unique levels.
I feel like from what little I've played of Galaxy 2 on the Wii U, that's almost the direction they were going for.
Yeah, I think because I think there is less stars per world per galaxy overall on Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but there are just more worlds there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should go back to that game because I like what I played. And I know that they rebuilt the Thwomp's Fortress in one of the early levels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that being like a huge deal.
I really like when hope
they
first unveiled
it on their YouTube channel.
I really hope we see, like, yeah, Mario 64 level in Odyssey and also a Sunshine area
That would
well.
Be nice.
Yeah.
I actually did see a Giant... I think Giant Bomb did, a preview of Odyssey, and there was, like, a point where Brad was playing and he was, like, approached this painting of a Peach's Castle from Mario 64.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess the rep was telling him not to go in there, so I was like, I wonder if they'll, like, yeah...
Obviously, you can go back to Peach's castle area, but if that's a level or not, I guess remains to be seen.
Well, like I said, the rep specifically told him not to go in there, so I wonder if that's just something they're kind of saving for as a surprise or something.
I was very happy in the last Direct when they were like, here's like six new worlds.
Yeah. Like, still not spoiling all of them. I mean, there's like close to 10 worlds, I think, unveiled now.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
So excited about that game.
Back to Galaxy.
Yeah.
I'll just quickly wrap up this mini hub, the second mini hub area, because I finished it. And I did the Sling Pod Galaxy this morning, which is, those ones where, like, the gooey, like, things where you got to pull back on and release Mario to get flung through the air. And this one was, I mean, it wasn't that hard, but I died a few times on it because I kept... Like, it looked like my aim was, because it, like, sort of aim, like, line it up with the next one to catch onto it. And it looked like I was like, pretty much dead on. But then when I let go, like, Mario missed completely. I was like, what's going on? So I had to, like, adjust it slightly up to look like it wasn't pointing straight slightly to make him do it, which is, like, odd.
It's odd.
And, that one was just a whole bunch of, like, stuff shooting and, like, platform spinning, and you got to like time it so Mario gets like the clean run without hitting anything to the next thing, which is pretty fun. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, I'll be playing that pretty soon here. I find I like the game enough that I'm gonna probably won't beat it by the time Odyssey comes out, but I'm definitely enjoying it enough that I'm going to keep on going with it.
Yeah, we'll keep playing and do another, like a part two on this, I think, which would be good.
Yeah, I'm definitely down for that.
If it only takes 60 stars to get to Bowser, I mean, I might do that.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever get 120, much less 240 ever again in my life, but...
Yeah. Yeah, at least not right now, anyway, because, like I said earlier, I'm so enamored with the SNES Classic and Golf Story and SteamWorld Dig 2.
I just got a certain Atlas game to review that I'm super excited about.
Ooh. And Stardew Valley gets released on Switch on the 5th.
Axiom Verge.
So it's like, Oh, yeah, Axiom Verge on the same day, yeah. Ooh, man.
Although the special edition comes out, like, in November, which blows. But I'm going to wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, too many games. But yes, Galaxy's great. And we haven't really talked about it much, but the game's gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
Yeah. It is so, so pretty.
I'd been posting a few screenshots of my off-screen like TV shot of Galaxy. Because I'm playing it on a 720p screen. It looks super sharp, super good.
Yeah.
On that TV. It's actually the same TV that I played it on back in 2007.
Oh, nice.
Same Wii as well.
I'm actually doing it somewhat differently. I actually still own my copy of the game, and I was putting it in on the Wii U, and it's just... Yeah, I mean, this looks good, but I was, like, actually very curious how it looks on Dolphin.
Yeah.
So I actually tried it out. No, I do not condone piracy in any way, shape, or form. But holy shit, that game looks amazing in HD. No question. It's like, damn.
So, okay, like, now my question is, how does Metroid Prime 3 look in on Dolphin?
Pretty good.
I don't know, actually. Yeah.
I've seen screens. It looks good. I mean, most GameCube and Wii games, when they, like, put up to HD resolution on Dolphin or whatever look like pretty incredible.
Yeah.
They hold up pretty good.
Prime 1 looks phenomenal on Dolphin. Good lord. Mm.
So, the last galaxy I want to mention before we go is the first galaxy of the third hub world, which was Beach Bowl Galaxy. Do you guys remember this one? It was like the seaside.
Yeah.
The one with the penguins and stuff.
Yeah, and you dive down into like the water and you can like hold on to turtle shells and zoom around and stuff.
Yeah, I remember it. I haven't gotten to it yet. I just beat like Bowser in the second hub world, so like that's probably going to be where I'm heading next.
I thought the desert world was the third hub. No.
The what?
Where's the desert world? Is that the fourth hub?
Desert world.
There's a desert
Sand Spiral Galaxy. Looks like it's in the fifth.
Oh, wow. That's farther than I thought it was. I'm so used to Mario games throwing a desert world at me right away.
But, the Seaside Beach Bowl Galaxy, I just love that level. It's the one that's I've always sort of... every time I think of Galaxy, I think of one of like this level because, like, it... I know, let's do impression. It looks, the design of it's really cool. And it's got the, music remix from Super Mario Land, I think it is.
Oh, yeah! Yeah! That one. That's right. It's got the penguins from Mario 64.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm real close to, I probably unlocked that level right now, but, I'm being OCD about it.
Right, so is there anything else we should mention about Galaxy in general, like, before we leave?
It is $20 on the Wii U eShop if you don't have it.
And that is an absolute steal.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely. If you haven't bought it, definitely buy it. I do kind of hope that we see a... Mario Galaxy 1-2 collection for Switch, though.
That would be great.
That would be nice, but I'm curious how they'll handle, like, collecting star bits and stuff. Like, if you're playing it on TV mode, it probably won't be an issue, like, you know, using traditional, like, gyro controls, but if you're playing it handheld, like, I wonder if they'll just make you use the touchscreen or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Huh.
I think people have worked out ways how to, for Dolphin and stuff, they've worked out ways how to make it work with like a regular controller, but I don't know how they handle the star bits.
Yeah, I think people have mapped like the right analog stick of like a traditional controller to mimic an IR pointer. I've actually been using a traditional Wiimote nunchuck for this because I have this thing called a Dolphin Bar. Which is basically a Bluetooth adapter that's also a Wii sensor bar that's USB. Yep. And it basically just will automatically sync up your controllers and stuff to it. Once you sync it up to that, like, you load up Dolphin, it's just like, yep, it's a Wii remote.
Yeah. Hmm. Huh. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I can definitely see them using the right stick as a cursor, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't really need to control the camera in the game.
No.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there's, like, there's only a couple places where it might be required, but it's like, I never had to adjust the camera.
Yeah, which is a great upgrade from Sunshine and 64 when you were manhandling it every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely something we should have brought up is, like, how awesome it is that they managed to make a camera in this game that you just... is just in the pretty much the perfect position.
You don't even think about
it. At all times. Yeah, you never really think about it until you, like, maybe just accidentally press the D-pad. It's like, oh, I can move this sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so every now and then you're like, oh, I wish I could see a bit better, but, like, a lot of the time they lock down the D-pad camera movement as well. Like, it doesn't even work a lot of the time. It's only sometimes you can actually use it, even.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, if I had to guess, if they did port it to the Switch, maybe they'll like put like the right bumper or whatever in like, you know, Luma mode or something where you just use it to collect star bits and click it back and it's just okay, now it's the camera.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I get, the camera is a pretty big update compared to Sunshine, because yeah, Sunshine doesn't move by itself at all. It's completely 100% manual camera, which is like Breath of the Wild, basically.
Right.
Is as well. And like, I do remember when I was playing Sunshine recently, I was like, oh yeah, every jump you make, you gotta also adjust the camera. and sometimes you gotta do it blind because like, you can't perform the jump and move the camera at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Oh god, that one shine in the, I think it was like in Pinna Park where the Ferris wheel was like going out of control.
Oh my god, had to, like, the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, you had to climb in the back, and it's like the camera just kept moving to the side. And it's like, what? Why?
But then doesn't the shine appear elsewhere, and you have to get back down?
I think so. I'm not sure. It's something. I think if I remember right, it was something like there was like the one of those electric turtles that was messing something up, and you had to get up there and like kick him out of the way or something.
Yeah, Sunshine's or like Sunshine's
and
then, where
yeah,
they
that's right. And the shine went up to like another platform. Yeah. He's like, oh,
Sunshine is where they started the whole do this thing, then go find the shine tradition. In 64, the shine was just right there. You could see it all the time. You just had to make it appear.
There were a couple instances where it's just like, okay, it's just somewhere else, but it's like just on the second story. Just hop on the stairs.
Right. Well, there you go. I like Galaxy a lot.
Yeah, Galaxy is an okay game. Who knew?
Yeah. We weren't all crazy in 2006 or 7 or whatever it was.
2007.
Yeah.
It's almost, I think it came out in November, so.
I must have gotten it for my birthday then, because it's my birthday month.
I do remember that I got it like a day or 2 days early because some store in Australia broke the street date and then everyone else was allowed to sell it too.
Nice.
So we went and got it early. That was awesome.
There you go.
Yeah, I think I had pre-ordered it from GameStop and I picked it up and was taking the bus home. And because I remember it came with like a coin, like a collectible coin. And I remember being pissed off because I left the coin on the bus.
Jeez.
I remember that coin because I ended up buying one on eBay because they didn't do that here. It's like probably a waste of money, but anyway.
It's neat.
Yeah. Alright, well, thanks guys for coming and playing Galaxy for a bit. We will probably, definitely do a part two. And like, we'll try and, you know, get close to the 60 star limit, I guess, and we would have seen pretty much all the levels and stuff at least.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. So if anyone wants to ask us any questions, you can email connectivity at connectivity. And what's the email address again, Zach?
Connectivity at NintendoWorldReport.com.
That's it. That's the one. I've forgotten because we get no emails, but
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, I had that problem back when we were doing the show.
You can also, it'd probably be easier to throw something in the talk back if you want to comment about anything, because we'll see it there, definitely. So, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll be back with a part two sometime in the near future. So, bye, everyone.
Woo-hoo!
Bye!